Death, self-emptying, the kenosis of life. John chapter 12 and verse 20. Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Whoever loves his own life will lose it. Whoever hates his own life in this world will gain it for eternal life. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am. And my Father will honor anyone who serves me." In one of the death camps of the Nazi regime, one of the inmates had stolen food. The prisoners were lined up, but no one owned up. Consequently, the commandant ordered several to be selected to make an example of them. They were to be locked up in one of the cellars without any food until they starved to death. One of those selected was a Jewish man who had a wife. Standing up and watching was a Roman Catholic priest. Knowing he was celibate, unmarried, having no children, he asked the commandant if he could change places with the condemned Jewish man. Surprisingly, the authorities agreed, and the priest replaced the Jew and entered the cellar with the others. Incidentally, the atmosphere in this underground chamber was extraordinary. Hymns of praise were sung and prayers were said for the camp, inmates and guards. Eventually, one by one, the prisoners died. Eventually, the priest himself died. The Jewish man survived the camp, and he and his wife had children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And to this day, on the anniversary of the priest's death, these descendants go to his grave to pay their respects and give thanks for his sacrifice that gave them existence and life. Just one example of Jesus' words. Unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. This conscious decision is another form of kenosis, a self-emptying of the life possessed by dying in order that more life elsewhere may flourish. But an unconscious self-sacrificing process also seems to be a feature of non-human creation. We've seen how the genetic code preserves itself through the survival of the fittest to adapt to its environment. This is aided by sharing through reproduction new reassemblies and dissipation of these individuals' genes. The expression of what the genes contain can only be made real by being expressed in an individual life, in a physical body, of the species to which the genes belong. But that individual with static genetic content could not adapt to a change in environment to provide survival of the fittest, because that individual is fixed and static. It is the new configuration of genes allied with another individual's in reproduction which makes adaption by the species possible. The individual must die to give way to the new assembled individuals dynamically adapting to the new dynamically changing environment. This is an unconscious process, but it is another form of kenosis, a self-emptying of the individual life possessed by dying, in order that more life elsewhere may flourish. Unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Whilst painful and self-sacrificing, this puts another more positive and life-contributing face to death. T.C. Williams caught these two aspects of death when he wrote, "Death is an angel with two faces. To us he turns a face of terrors, blighting all things fair. The other burns with glory of the stars. A love is there." Whilst death, including our own, more often carries the negative face which blights all things fair, used kenotically, used in its self-emptying form, which runs, it appears, as a component of nature and human society, it is through its love, its self-sacrificing, bounteously life-giving. And this is the central truth of the Christian understanding of Good Friday, that despite the goodness we contribute to life, there is a gap between that goodness and the potential perfection in each of us. Christ, like the priest in the Nazi camp, sacrifices himself to breach that gap for all of us. A single grain dies, but the harvest is out of all proportion. It is immense. Where our sins separated us from God, Christ's action enables us to embrace and be embraced by him. To touch God is to touch life itself. We possess true life. Life eternal. Jesus said in the passage that commenced this meditation, "Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am." That means to be with him in paradise, but also to be with him on the cross at Calvary. To be a Christian means to copy Christ, and especially to copy his self-emptying. This self-emptying, we have seen, is the source of life. God self-empties in order to bring creation and you and me into being. Nature unconsciously self-empties as part of its continuing existence, and Christ supremely exemplifies this process, built into God and into his created order, by his death on Good Friday. If we want to step into this total life stream, we must learn to be self-emptying of life consciously and voluntarily. We die in order to live and to give life. When selfishly we cling to power and lord it over others to cover up our inadequacies instead of enduring the pain of admitting our inadequacies and weaknesses, we choke the life process. We don't add to our life, and we don't add to the total life of our species and the rest of creation. Being useless, we are discardable. We are consuming space and energy to the detriment of all living organisms. So we are visited by the first face of death, death with a full stop, oblivion. We're a waste of space, time, and resources, useless. If we die to our needs, generated by our inadequacies, we suddenly become useful and life-giving agents to the rest of creation. This dying is useful to God and to all creation. We reveal and receive the second face of death, life. Our sacrifice becomes important, life-enhancing, appreciated, sought after, crucial to our life and the life of all. There are two faces of death because there are two uses of the time that we have here on earth. But which use most describes you?